Seuss Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to a new edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. We're back after a long layoff. I'm Danny Jones, and with me, as always, is Cameron Teague Robinson. It has been a long layoff. I was out of town for a week and a half. You held down the fort, you and Matt Nestor and our two summer interns.
Yep, it was fun.
State baseball.
State track.
Breaking news.
Yep.
On multiple fronts for Mizzou sports. You had lawsuits. You had coaching hire announcement.
Yep.
And
Jonte Porter. Luckily, but that was like the one I was the most prepared for. So I was just like, I was just ready for that to come out by that time. But the other two were just like, and it was all, they're always at the worst times. Oh, Sierra Porter. Retirement.
Right.
So yeah, they are always just at the worst times when I was on assignment somewhere else.
Yeah, on assignment or in the car.
Yeah.
That's the one that usually always happens is you are in the car and you come to a red light and you hear all the buzzing on your phone.
Yep.
And it's something important happening that you can't tend to right at the moment. And then you have to go back and read Twitter, go back, scroll all the way backward through Twitter to see what happened.
Honestly, every time my phone vibrates, I'm praying that it's not breaking news.
Every time?
Every time. I'm just like, please, I don't want to deal with this right now. Please.
Please don't be a Twitter notification.
Yes, please don't. Please tell me somebody didn't do something stupid. Please tell me they didn't hire somebody else. Yeah, but
the worst
part of the job.
The worst is when there is no coach for a certain sport, like when there was no basketball coach.
Yeah.
That's how it felt.
100%,
it's just like, okay, is somebody getting hired? Yeah, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That was
You're on
worst.
Edge every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And funny story about that, that was over a year and a half ago, I had already made plans in March to go to my best friend's bachelor party. So I was going to be one of the best men at the wedding. I had committed to being a part of the bachelor party. And all the while, Mizzou was in the middle of a coaching search. And so I was kind of trying to decide if I was going to be able to go. And I had already bought tickets. Turns out, they hired Konzo Martin. They made the announcement on Thursday. I left Friday. Got back Saturday or Sunday, and then the introductory press conference was Monday.
They planned it around your weekend.
It was like the most amazing coincidence ever.
Yeah.
But I remember talking to other people like, am I going to be able to do this? Our boss at the time, Joe Waljasper, he was pretty tense about it because he'd already given me permission to go, and I was kind of like, I don't know. But it worked out in the end. So it's a tense time, but this summer should be less eventful than some of the summers we've had in the past.
Knock on all the wood in this room. That's not even wood, but I'm knocking on it.
That was metal.
Yep.
That was a metal grate that you
everything.
Knocked on.
I knocked on the metal desk, the wooden desk first.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
You talked to Jonte Porter today?
Yeah.
What was he like today?
It was eventful. He was a good interview today. Very talkative. Jonte, I don't know. Not many people have spoken to Jonte, but at least people who are listening to this, I imagine. But he's very like, I don't know, he's a silly kid. Very, gives some pretty good jokes. But today was mostly questions were all geared, obviously, towards why he came back, what that process was like, all that, all things like that. I guess the biggest takeaways, one is that he said he wanted to come back. His decision to come back was strictly just about basketball. He wanted to be a better player. He learned a lot through the NBA draft process, but felt like another year in college could help him become a better player. He said he wants to go to the NBA and be able to contribute right away. Whether that he doesn't necessarily think he's he'll be an all-star right away, but just be able to make an impact. So that was a big thing. I asked him when he decided to come back and like when he made that decision. He said he didn't know a day specifically, but he said he just woke up one day and said and thought he wanted to come back to Mizzou. He did specify that that decision was made before the NBA draft combine, which was on, I believe, May 16th. It began May 16th.
Which would probably help explain why he didn't participate in the any scrimmages or anything.
Which makes sense.
Right. Yeah. And we were talking, Jonte isn't necessarily a guy who's going to like pop on the athletic training drills just because he's not super fast. He doesn't jump super high. The reason he's a good basketball player is not because he's an outstanding athlete.
Right. It's because of what he would have showed in those scrimmages.
It's because he can do things as a 7-footer that a lot of 7-footers can't do, like shoot and pass and all kinds of other things, see the floor.
Right. So, which would make sense when you think about that. So that was, I guess, another big takeaway. Trying to think of what else was a big takeaway. Oh, he's talked about how much his shooting has improved since throughout all his workouts. He was saying he was shooting NBA threes every day. And he said, I quote, college three is like a mid-range jump shot now.
He said it's an important like 2.5 feet,
yeah,
or whatever, one and a half feet, maybe
something like that. He said he's not going to be Steph Curry or anything, but he feels a lot more comfortable. He said I'm comfortable from half court, which was a joke. Everybody kind of laughed at it, but he said he's not going to be Steph Curry or anything, but he's much more comfortable shooting the ball than he was last year, which is testament because he shot what 35% from three last year. So that will be another weapon Mizzou could use next year.
Yeah, it was everybody had their eyes on Jonte this summer, just like last summer, and he seems to be a kid that, I don't know, he enjoys, I think, that a little bit, enjoys maybe having some of that attention, but at the same time, he plays it off pretty well. He's comfortable talking to the media and like showing his personality, so I'm sure it was kind of good to talk to him today and get his thoughts on the summer, just because nobody had been able to speak to him in an open setting like that pretty much all summer.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked to Kevin Perrier, Jordan Geis, and Kenzo Martin a little bit as well. So, I mean, that's all just kind of your normal offseason stuff. Like, how are the newcomers doing? Kevin Perrier said he loves how hard they work.
Mm-hmm.
So that was big. I guess my second takeaway from the whole thing, not Jonte Porter related, was Jordan Geist. Kevin Perrier and Jonte Porter. Their names, I'm like messing them up, I feel like.
Kevin Perrier
and Jonte Porter.
Okay.
I thought I was saying Kevin Porter for some reason.
not one person. His history with the Mizzou basketball program is not as illustrious as Kevin Perrier or Jonte Porter's.
But yeah, those two, they both praised or raved about Jordan Geist this offseason, just kind of his leadership, saying that he's been a very vocal leader. And Kevin Perrier was who we had on the podcast a few weeks back, talked about that as well. How Jordan Geist kind of came in here as like somebody who didn't really talk, and now he's been a pretty vocal leader. Kenzo Martin said he thinks Jonte. My goodness, my names are all messed up, man. It's the first time talking to them in a while. Okay, but no, Kenzo said he thought Jordan Geist could average 6 assists next year, 6 assists a game. He said the big thing is just like he told him last year, is just try to go through one practice at a time, one game at a time with zero turnovers. Try to kind of use that as a goal for each day. But it seems like everybody is loving what they're seeing from Jordan Geist so far. Now, take for granted, they've been doing summer workouts for 2 days. So there's still some time to go. But
yeah.
I think that was my biggest takeaway, non-Jonte Porter related.
Was Jordan Geist.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about Jordan Geist and his role in the program and how important he is, how much Kenzo really takes to him and the role he had last year, and he'll be the guy.
We've
said that a lot. He'll be the guy at point guard for the team going forward.
And I don't think it'll be like you said, he's going to be the backcourt specialist. I mean, he's the most experienced player there. I think he'll share ball handling abilities with a few other people. Kenzo mentioned Torrance Watson as somebody, obviously Xavier Pinton, and a few others, but I think Jordan Geist will be, I mean, you're talking about, he's obviously not going to be the best player on the floor, but I think he'll be Mizzou's one or two most important players next year. If you take Jonte Porter as their number one, I think Jordan Geist is number two.
Anything else basketball related that you got out of today's press conference?
Not really.
Kenzo did say Jonte, when he eventually goes to the NBA, could be a guy that plays 12 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And Jonte said that when he goes to the NBA, he wants to have an impact when he gets there.
Right.
You feel like Jonte would have had a strong impact on an NBA roster if he would have gone this year? Like, do you think Jonte would have... That was my question.
You moved your hand. That's what I thought you were going
to hear. I was going to continue, and then I realized after the fact that was a good place to stop in the question. But do you feel like if Jonte were to be drafted this year, that he would have a strong impact on an NBA roster next season?
I think he'd need more growth. I just think him being able to score inside would have been a little bit. I don't think he would be able to, like you said, he's not super athletic. He wasn't going to take a lot of bigs, especially at the four position, off the dribble, I don't think. I mean, I think NBA power forwards get, I guess, criticized too much because they people see them as just big guys and don't think how athletic they are. Those guys are very athletic. I mean, very, especially with how small the NBA is going now. I mean, you're looking at forwards who are pretty much small forwards. So Jonte, I mean, Jonte has a lot IQ-wise, shooting ability, passing ability. He's a tremendous shot blocker. But I think, obviously, even next year if he goes, there's still going to be a learning curve. But I think Kim coming back this year is going to help him so much more just because he can polish things, get used to another level, playing at a very high level in college. And I think more than anything, it gives him a chance to be the guy. And that maybe is maybe an ego type of thing. I don't really. It could be a little bit different. I think everybody, if you have a chance to be the guy, it's just a mental thing. It's something you have to work into your mind of like the pressures of I have to go out here and perform every single night to help my team. And I think that's something that'll help him at the next level as well. So he could have performed this year. I just think it would have been kind of hit or miss. I think next year, if he was to kind of put on a good year this year, improve on a few things, kind of tone down to. Tone his body a little bit. I think he could be a top 10 pick next year and really help out any NBA team.
In college sports, people tend to assume that whenever a player comes back or gets a year older, that they'll automatically be better, that right. They'll just improve on whatever they weren't very good at the year before, that in one offseason they'll improve and become a better player.
Right.
That doesn't happen. In fact, it happens, I think, a lot less than people expect it to. And not to say that I think Jonte's that guy. I think he has a lot of potential. I think he will be a better player next year. But I am excited to see him, like you said, be that guy. Because last year, when the topic of conversation was, is Jonte going to reclassify and join Mizzou?
Yeah.
The other option was, okay, Jonte's had this amazing summer as the leader of his MoCan team that was playing really, really well. And there was kind of like, the thought of, oh, what's Jonte going to look like when he's the number one scoring option? You know, what's it going to be like when Jonte actually has a team all to himself?
Yeah.
And we didn't get to see that last year. We kind of did a little bit at Mizzou. He was one of the best players there, but he wasn't the guy
right.
like Jordan Barnett or Cassius Robertson were. Now he will be.
Yeah, he'll be the most talented player on the floor.
He'll be the guy, on a much bigger stage. And so we will get to see him play that role out. And I think that'll be cool to see how he reacts to that and to see what kind of player he becomes. I think he's, like you said, he's got a lot of potential and he does things differently. He's not a 7-footer that's going to, you know, back you down and just dunk on your head.
Right.
So I think it'll be cool to see how he develops his game and what he adds to it this offseason in order to be a better player.
And we talked a lot throughout this offseason about like Missouri's perimeter, who's going to develop there, how are they going to develop scores. I think bringing Jonte back, it obviously eases some of that because Jonte is so versatile where he can go inside and out and do so many things. But as well, like defenses, and Kanto talked about this because I asked him how much, he talked a lot about positionless players, and Jonte's similar to that, I think, because he's versatility inside and out. He talked today about like how much Jonte opens things up. Defenses have to account for so much of what he does. I think you saw that against Vandy a lot. Now, Vandy's not a very good defensive team, but still. Kanto was mentioning like a lot of shots you saw Jordan and Cassius get were because teams are focused on Jonte. And I think that's going to be similar this year. And I think that's going to ease the transition of a KJ Santos or a Torrance Watson or a Xavier Pinson into scoring more on the perimeter. Kevin Purrier, he was mentioning that he thinks he's going to be playing on perimeter a little bit more this year. Mitchell Smith, guys like that, I think it's going to be able to ease them into the rotation of like not saying, hey, you have to come in and score on the perimeter because we don't have anybody. But Jonte being there is going to kind of help them get more open shots and let them kind of figure out what they want to do, especially Jeremiah Tillman inside as well. Mm-hmm. Now, Mizzou didn't play Jeremiah and Jonte on the floor a lot last year. I wonder if they'll do that more this year. I mean, you could potentially see a fraud lineup with Jeremiah, Jonte, Kevin Perrier, and shoot Mitchell Smith, who's 6'10". I mean, now all four of them wouldn't be on the floor at the same time, but like, I mean, that's an incredible length from your 5, 4, and three positions, and especially when you're talking about a 3 and a 4 who can kind of do so much versatility wise, that'd be a lot of length to account for.
Yeah. That was one thing we thought we'd see more last year. Yeah. We did see a lot, but they'll bring that back at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about all I have on basketball.
Yeah, I think that's about it. There was some news in the football side.
There was. I'm looking on my phone. I have the story pulled up that I wrote earlier, but I have to navigate around notifications for Trivia Crack. It's an app that was re-downloaded by me today for the first time since I was, I think, in high school, like 7 years ago or eight. Well, it was longer ago than that. 10 years ago.
Really?
Well, I graduated high school.
Wait, you played it in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't play it until I got to college.
Okay. Yeah, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I think I'm in an intense trivia battle with our photographer, Hunter Dyke.
Yeah, guys, if you guys don't understand, these two are going at it in trivia. We had a little mini trivia contest in the office yesterday, hosted by yours truly, and Danny won.
I was waiting for you to drop that knowledge. Right, who won?
I could tell
by
face.
That was what everybody wants to know.
Danny did win.
Who won.
Danny did win. Yeah, so Danny, for those who don't know, Danny is a very good Trivial Pursuit player. We used to play it a lot. And Danny's very good. He said he used to like kind of hang out on Wikipedia at times and just look at trivia, and now he knows all these things.
If only there was a way to transfer that talent into something actually useful.
Sure.
Like money or
true.
Fame.
True. Money would be nice.
Money would be nice.
The professional Trivial Crack
League. I haven't figured out a way to do that yet. I'll continue working on it. But yes, you're right. There was football news earlier today, which was that Mizzou football got their third commitment in the class of 2019. Jack Buford. Buford, I guess.
Buford?
Buford. That's what I was...
It's all right. I called Kevin
Thank
Perry
you.
Or Kevin Porter today. So.
Thank you. Buford, an offensive lineman from St. Louis. He goes to Lutheran North. He committed to the Tigers today. Had offers from Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, Auburn, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Michigan, Texas, and a lot more that I did not read on there, including Cam's alma mater, Bowling Green, who... Okay. Yeah.
Well, the prides of the Mac. I'm just saying.
So, yeah, Bowling Green also offered him a scholarship. But Carl
Reed.
I
appreciate you saying that.
Huh?
I appreciate you mentioning them.
Yeah, well, you were giving me a death glare. Carl Reed said today, Carl Reed is his coach at Lutheran North, was just talking about the recruiting process, said it was very tense, and said that basically the difference for Missouri in recruiting Buford was Brad Davis, the offensive line coach, and they hit it off really well. Jack said over the phone about an hour ago when I talked to him that he would call Coach Davis, they would FaceTime, and they would rap on the phone, and Coach Davis's kids, like he got to know his kids, so it became a really close personal relationship pretty quickly, and now Mizzou has an offensive lineman that is already 6'4 and about 315, 320 pounds, can come in, will probably play at guard first before maybe moving to tackle eventually, but he's big enough to play guard right out of the gate. And most importantly, you have the first high school commitment from St. Louis since the class of 2016. So that's a huge deal for Mizzou to actually yeah. get a high school kid from St. Louis that's going to Mizzou and will hopefully get some momentum. We've talked about it a lot on the basketball side that Mizzou's starting to get some commits from St. Louis. I don't know how much that had to do with this
yeah.
or how much it'll have to do with maybe football having more success in St. Louis this offseason, but at any rate, you've had some milestones in recruiting in St. Louis already this year, and now they continue with Jack Buford.
Yeah, that's a big one for Mizzou. What is he, the number 10 ranked player in the state? Something like that. Probably, I imagine if he's 10th, he's probably one of the top offensive linemen in the state, mm-hmm. if not the first. But yeah, that's a big commitment for Missouri, and specifically, like you said, because of the St. Louis aspect of it. I mean, St. Louis have had some very talented football recruits come out of there, especially last year. But just, I mean, for Missouri to open that pipeline up in all sports is a big deal, because that's something that they haven't been able to keep open for a while.
I don't think there's a coincidence that Mizzou's success in recruiting St. Louis on the basketball side is leading that Mizzou's having success there, and then they're also starting to yeah. have success on the football side.
I'd be interested in how that correlates.
Like, yeah.
do some of the football players think that, like, oh, we see some of these basketball players just going there too? Like maybe does that make it, I don't know, cool again? I put cool in air quotes for people who can't see that, but mm-hmm. I don't know. That make just people more interested in the school now? I'm interested to see how that correlates between both sports.
Carl Reed said today on the phone as well, when we were talking about why Jack went to Mizzou, he mentioned Brad Davis and his influence, but he said the thing that stood out was that Mizzou rolled up their sleeves and committed themselves to repairing some of the relationships in St. Louis that maybe had, I guess, kind of gone dormant or quiet. He said Mizzou'd always been around. They'd always been present. But this offseason, they've been more personable. They connected better with kids. And it was Carl Reed's opinion that they had done a really good job recruiting the 2019 class in St. Louis. Now that you have one guy from St. Louis, theoretically that opens the door for getting more. Jack Buford is now a recruiting tool that you have in St. Louis to get other kids to go. So
at a powerhouse.
Lutheran North has a ton of kids that have gone Division I in recent seasons. So that is a good spot to kind of plant a flag if you're Missouri.
I thought it was an interesting quote in your story from, dude, I just ran by it, Danny Heitert.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Buford kills it on game days. It's against Class 2 competition, but he de-cleats defensive tackles and inside linebackers he competes against. Now, Class 2 isn't the best of the best competition, but to de-cleat anybody on a consistent basis is pretty impressive. Because even if people who all play on the defensive line in high school, while some of them aren't the most athletic people in the world, they're some very big humans.
Mm-hmm.
So to de-cleat any of those guys on a consistent basis is pretty impressive.
Yeah. I love talking to Danny about recruits.
You love talking to yourself?
Danny Heitert. Wow, good one.
Thank you.
He gave a lot of information about Missouri's 2018 signing class earlier this year. Very detailed, great descriptions. So there was a lot of work that went up in the winter, in February, and also in December on signees. Just in the way that Danny described them was really descriptive and entertaining. But yeah, that's a good word, and it's good to bring somebody in that can do that on a consistent basis. I believe Danny's word. He's a scout that knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. I believe Danny as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, good.
I believe Danny and Danny.
Okay.
Enough of our corny jokes.
Yeah, enough talk about Danny's. What is there else to talk about? Oh, I guess we could talk about really quick. Just I could run through these. The SEC announced the men's basketball schedule. Not schedule, but like opponents for this year.
Yeah.
We haven't run that through. Just very quickly, if I can find it on my Twitter account.
While you look for that, Mizzou in the baseball side of things, the MLB draft, they've already had three guys get drafted. Well, four now. Yesterday, which was the second day of the draft, you had Michael Plassmeyer and Bryce Montes-Dioka, both pitchers.
Yeah.
Today you have
Andy Tolkien
and also Trey Harris.
Yeah. Yep. And also a guy, the San Francisco Giants just selected a guy from Jefferson College, Lucas Krull. I guess Gabe DeArmond from Parmazoo just tweeted and said he's actually on an official visit to Mizzou as a tight end prospect right now.
So that's
pretty cool. I know, I just thought that was cool. So SEC basketball wise, Mizzou, I guess I'll just hit the highlights. Kind of cool that last year Mizzou played Kentucky twice. They'll play them once this year at home. You don't have to go to Rupp Arena. So that's
Thank
a benefit.
Yeah,
that's
the Mizzou
benefit.
Basketball team.
Yeah, they haven't fared very well there. Another highlight, Mizzou. The two SEC co-regular season champions last year, Mizzou plays them both on the road this year. They go to Auburn. They play Tennessee twice, host them once, and go to Tennessee. That's a highlight because Konzo Martin would go back to Tennessee for the first time since he was fired there in 2014, I think it was. What else is kind of – Mizzou will not go to Vandy, which I'm sad about because I love Nashville and I love Vandy's basketball arena. I guess there are a few other things, but I mean, it'll be in the trip today, but it's just – notable that was released today. So we know a good amount of what Mizzou's schedule is going to look like next year. It's just putting dates and times together. On the women's side, the most notable thing is that Mizzou will not host South Carolina this year.
Pretty disappointing.
Yeah, that is pretty disappointing. They will go to South Carolina, but they will host Tennessee again, which is pretty good because they had, what, 11,000 here last year?
11, 12.
Yeah.
It was around there. It set a new record for the most fans to ever see a women's game here at Mizzou.
Right, so that's pretty cool. So maybe they can up that again as well. So, yeah, so it's kind of – we're a while away from basketball season, but the schedule just came out, so I thought that might be notable to mention.
Indeed. Indeed, indeed.
Okay.
Well, these months are slow, so we'll probably just wrap up here.
Yeah.
Maybe. We don't have anything disgusting to eat today, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I think, was that our last podcast? Was me eating jelly beans?
It might have been. Might have been.
What a horrible experience that was.
Well, we will not have another one for at least till I get back. I go on vacation next week. Maybe we'll get a podcast in before then. Maybe not. Depends on what happens. If nothing happens, we probably won't have one. What are we going to talk about? Then that's usually when we have nothing to talk about, is when we have those disgusting eating contests. So I'd rather just not do that.
Okay, fair.
So, yeah, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Sorry we've been away for so long. I was actually going to do one while you were gone, but I got so busy with so much other stuff.
That would have been interesting to hear you do one solo.
Yeah, it would have been riveting.
I would have listened to it.
Yeah, you should.
Oh, well.
It would have been riveting, but maybe we'll do that again. Maybe I'll just come in here and just talk to the microphone one time.
I'd like to be a part of that. Not actually part of it, but just listen to it.
Yeah. I feel like you would just sit there and watch me and laugh at me.
Yeah. I would do that. I would laugh at you.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys tuning in. Subscribe on wherever you get your podcast from. It is on Apple, the best podcast app. So subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave a comment. Rate. You think you can rate on... Can you rate and comment on Omni?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I've heard that helps a lot. Yeah. So if you could do that, that would be great.
Yeah, please let us know.
If you haven't done that and could do that, that would be great.
Yeah, let us know what you like, don't like, what we could be doing better, who you want to see on the podcast. We're still taking suggestions of guests for the podcast. We have a list of things we want to do still. But like we said, we've kind of been gone. So I guess that's it. Unless Danny has anything else to say, he can cue the outro music.
I don't have anything else to say.
Oh, well, then you can cue the outro music.
Subscribe to Mizzou's Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.